Welcome to a new week on the Bible study. It is Monday, February the 10th, 2014, and we welcome you to this program where we just unload the truths of God's Word, Bible book by Bible book. You can join us in this if you listen in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, worldwide, 800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. I'm Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, your host this day, and joining me is our guest, Pastor Larry Troxell from Illinois. Welcome, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How's the weather up your way?
Very cold.
Very cold. How cold are we talking?
The temperature started out below zero. It may be up to zero by now, and then tomorrow it's supposed to be 11 below in the morning.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they said last night that north of us it was supposed to be a little more Arctic-type temperatures.
Yeah. So last week we broke a low-temperature record that had been set in 1905, so it's sort of chilly.
Wow. Well, it certainly, when you step outside with the pets or to get the paper, a cup of coffee, whatever, it'll certainly wake you up.
It keeps you moving. But, you know, the neat thing is that all of this is under the Lord's control, and he's going to turn it out for good.
That is so wise and excellent that you said that, Larry, because whenever we feel down and it's like spiraling out of control, we should go right there, shouldn't we?
Yeah, really. Lord, I don't know, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, he's still on the seat of all power and control and authority, and he's doing a great job.
And not just power and authority, but he's still dealing with us in grace, because it could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. And isn't that the most magnificent power of all?
Yeah.
As he says in Romans, you know, the explosive power of the gospel which saves everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
We sure need that, don't we?
That's what really makes doing this on the air so much fun.
Good. And, you know, I don't have the analytics this morning, but when I bring these up every day, Larry, I see that we are being listened to, usually at this hour, by over 30 U.S. states, and typically somewhere in the teens of countries around the world. We do know that within a 30-day period, we're listened to over 100 countries around the globe. Isn't that amazing?
It just absolutely goes beyond what anything I could have imagined when I was first ordained and on my first call, or even when I retired a few years ago. Like, now that I'm in retirement, I'm actually having the privilege of sharing the gospel around the world? That's incredible. And that's just the Lord's blessing.
And you know, when you look at this little broadcasting effort that the Missouri Synod started, what, almost 90 years ago, on a little AM station here in the St. Louis area, and I think we're still kind of plagued by this, that a lot of people don't realize that we've kind of burst those seams with newer technology, as you were saying, that can take our signal around the world via the internet, that those first founders would just be thanking God so much that now not only do we broadcast in the St. Louis listening area, but we go out worldwide.
Yeah, what would Walter A. Meyer, the most senior Walter A. Meyer, have ever thought?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, as you were describing it, Larry, you and I get the privilege of sharing that good news of Jesus Christ around the globe. The one that really gets me is now and then I see an individual in North Korea tune into us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from some studies that I've seen, that's probably one of the most persecuted places in the globe.
Absolutely.
For a Christian. And so I so marvel, and I thank God that possibly some people in North Korea are fed by KFUO and no other way.
Yeah. And think of the risk they're taking if they are discovered to be listening.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the persecution they're facing? And yet the hunger for the word is there.
Yeah, you know, Molly Ziegler Hemingway, she came on my book talk program, and I let her choose a book, and she had one called Persecuted, and it was about this. Mm. And the story they told was a Christian somewhere in North Korea. The soldiers broke into his house, dug up his floorboards, and there they found a Bible.
Oh.
And they strapped him to a wall and shot him on the spot. So you're saying it so correctly that these people are at great risk. So my heart goes out to them, and if they're listening, we're keeping our prayers a lot that for your courageous belief and the Lord comfort you and bless you. And as you were saying before, Larry, the Lord is still in control of all that, huh?
Yeah. Maybe that's where we should start with our prayer today.
I was going to ask you to do that, so would you please lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, it is so marvelous that you have found a variety of ways of bringing your good news about Jesus to people around the world. And for those who live under the threat of persecution, and those who are actually experiencing persecution today, we pray that you would defend them, uphold them, and even turn the hearts of their persecutors from hatred to saving faith, that the witness of these persecuted Christians might be used by your Spirit in conjunction with the Word to bring even the most unbelieving into your kingdom. Bless now our study of your word that we might grow thereby. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Thanks for that great prayer, Larry. We have a great section of God's word to chat about and be encouraged in the faith and encourage the faith of people out there everywhere. And I hope this is the text that you were expecting. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11 through the end of the chapter.
Yes.
That syncs up. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So let me just read. Let's take the first seven verses, and then I know we're going to spend some time unloading that.
Okay.
Beginning at verse 11 in Galatians chapter 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Let's get just a brief context of what went on in the first 10 verses, Larry, before we take off into verses 11 through 17, if you would, please.
Okay. Paul, you know, introduces himself, as he would in any letter, to the recipients, focuses them immediately on the grace of God that he has given them, but then expresses astonishment that they have allowed themselves to be misled away from the gospel which he had proclaimed to them by some false teachers who had followed up. They were always dogging Paul's footsteps. And after he had done his work in an area and God the Holy Spirit had worked powerfully through him to bring people to saving faith in Jesus and establish a congregation, they came in and said, you know what, Paul? What Paul preached wasn't really the whole truth. You still have to keep all of these Old Testament ceremonial laws. Particularly, you have to be circumcised or else you're not getting into heaven. And so it became not the good news about Jesus, but this abominable mixture of faith and good works, of man cooperating somehow in his salvation. And Paul is at that point saying, let's stop right there and let's look at what's been going on since I last was with you and what's happened to you. Notice that he's not angry with the recipients of the letter. And this is so important to keep in mind, that when he's confronting false doctrine, he's not really scolding them as much or blaming them as much as he does the false teachers who had come in. And he's, even later when he calls them foolish Galatians and wonders who has bewitched you, he's still looking at them as dear Christians whom he wants to lead back into the real truth of God's gospel. And so that's sort of where we've been, where we were on Friday with this text. And now he's coming in and starts to talk to them about, all right, let me remind you of what of how it is that I became an apostle and what is the source of the gospel that I preach to you. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the foundation, and let's make sure you're straight on a solid foundation, because if the foundation is not properly put in place again, everything else is going to be off.
Very well done, that summary, and I really appreciate it too, Larry, that he's attacking these false teachers that came in on his heels. And I like the way you posed it too. They really didn't say Paul was all wet in what he taught you. As you said it, and I kind of think his truth here, he's saying, hey, he didn't give you all of it.
Yeah.
What he said, we say, but he left out some things.
Mm-hmm.
And those, is this one way to describe kind of the letter of Galatians? Anything added or subtracted from the pure gospel results in a distorted, not really even a gospel.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. We dare not put anything else in place in addition to what God has put in place in Christ, and we dare not take anything away from what God has done for us in Christ. It's got to be all and only Christ and his work.
Yeah, and I like what you were saying too, Gary, leading up to our little beginning today in 11, that, you know, we're hearing his apostleship and what that means and where he got this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came in here today, I remember that Dr. Norman Nagel had a great sermon on this text, actually the first 10 verses, and I just want to read the beginning to that sermon and then have you comment on that, because okay. I think it takes us where you wanted to go. Dr. Nagel wrote in the sermon, "The Galatians had it told to them straight and solid, no beating about the bush. There is good news and there is bad news. First, the good news. It is an apostle talking. Therefore, it is not just his two bits worth from men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You can't get anything more solid than that."
Amen. And, you know, I think that's something that in our churches and in everything that we do, we need to be taking people back to, this is what the Word says. And it's one of the things I like about our hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, that through all the different liturgies that are there, line by line, there are the scriptural references that are saying, we didn't make this up, this is God's Word. And when we're worshiping, we're simply spending time in God's Word. And when we're teaching Bible classes, I can never say, well, I think. The people that I'm teaching always want to know, well, what's the Word say? What does the Bible say about this? In adult classes that I've taught, I've frequently had people ask at the beginning of the series of classes, Pastor, what does the church say about whatever the topic is? And my reply has always been, well, the Bible says. And after about the third or fourth class, they'll start to say, Pastor, what does the church, what does the Bible say? Now you're getting it. The only authority we have is the Word of God. The only reason I can be on the phone with you this morning doing this, or the only reason that KFUO can be on the air doing this, is that this is what God's Word says.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, we're actually being, if we were doing anything else, we would be the false prophets that Paul was defending himself against.
Thank you, Larry. You're giving us such great stuff there that the thing that we can be sure and certain of is if God says it. And I would add to that, you've given us so much great stuff there that in the new Lutheran Service Book, as you mentioned, I love that too, that where they know that it's right out of Scripture or taken, and paraphrased into song or a spoken response, it's from God's Word, is the fact that Jesus did that all the time in his defense against the attack of Satan. Three times, it is written, it is written. And Jesus always wanted to do that. And not only that, Larry, but our Lord would always correct somebody that was applying it incorrectly.
Yes.
And so that's wonderful. What you're encouraging us and edifying us to do is be certain that God said it, and that we don't pop it out of context or misuse and misapply His Word.
Yeah. And that's what Paul says in verse 11. He says, "The gospel I preached is not something that human beings put together, and I didn't get this from anyone else. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And Paul got his message direct from the source. And boy, did he ever, because he got knocked off his horse into the dust.
Wow. Do you think, Larry, that in that verse 11, when he says, "This gospel which I preach, brothers, is not man's gospel," that he was possibly referring back to these distorters, these false teachers who brought in a different gospel?
Sure. Why wouldn't it be that? I mean, he's drawing a clear line, mark of differentiation between the truth and everything that human beings have either added to it or taken away from it. And my goodness, when we listen to preachers of any stripe, even when my people listen to me, it's their responsibility, and I've told them this, it's their responsibility to check me out against Scripture to make sure I'm not saying anything I shouldn't be saying. And that, first of all, they just, "Oh, Pastor, that means I need to know the Bible." I said, "Yeah, that's why we have Bible class."
And that's why they're there, to keep us preachers beholden to the Word of God,
yeah,
tied to the Word of God.
Yes. My goodness. And that's why, even though I've got a file cabinet full of old sermons, I think one of these days when I'm fully retired and not doing anything else, I need to go through and burn about the first 20 years.
we do get better as preachers sometimes, don't we?
Well, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit continues to instruct me every day and every year.
Yeah. Larry, I was reminded of a passage in the Bible that really is special to me and maybe to other people, that I went through a period in my life where I'd fallen away from the church and from my faith pretty much. And when I came back, I was searching for a church that I could be confident that did what you described, really proclaimed God's words in its truth. And a passage that hit me very profoundly was in Acts 17, where it says that Paul went and preached to the Bereans, but they would not believe him until they searched the Scriptures for themselves and found out that he was telling them rightly. That's what you were suggesting.
Yeah, and that's one of the verses I use in my adult classes and elsewhere, and remind them that when it talks about the Bereans searching the Scriptures, the Scriptures they had were the Old Testament.
Yes.
And that Christ is revealed in the Old Testament, which is what Paul was preaching. And those Berean Christians have been a great source of encouragement and a great example for all Christians ever since Paul was there. And that's what all of us need to be doing. Back into the Word, back into the Word, back into the Word.
And if anybody should be a people of God that are just saturated with that Word, it should be us Lutherans, because we tout that all the time, you know, Scripture alone. Mm-hmm. And so we should be a people of God's Word and intensely, deeply into it.
If we're going to stand, as Scripture calls us to take a stand, and if we're going to bear the name of Christ, call ourselves Christian, we'd better know exactly what Scripture says.
Right. Hey, Larry, let me ask you this. Is there any temptation for a pastor to not give it to them straight, the gospel and everything? Is there temptations out there for preachers when they're preaching or teaching God's Word to not give it to them in all its purity?
Well, you know, human beings like to be liked. And we also sometimes are confronted by individuals or groups who want to have things their own way. And it's awfully difficult sometimes to say, no, this is where I stand, and this is what Scripture, this is not what Larry Troxell says, this is what Scripture says. I had, a number of years ago, I had a person from out of state who had been a member of a family of funeral where I was officiating, came to town, and after the funeral, expressed appreciation for the Word and all that, and went merrily on our way. And then, a number of months later, called me on the telephone and wanted to talk about whether I would consider a call to serve in the congregation where he was, because their pastor had retired, and was very much concerned that I would continue to do things the way the former pastor had done, which involved even some compromises on doctrine and practice. And that was a real easy phone call to say, no, thank you. I cannot do that, because that is not in keeping with Holy Scripture, and therefore it also violates the confessions of our church. He didn't like that. But whether it's in private conversation or in public proclamation, we are tempted at times. We're given opportunities to water things down and walk a different road, and we've got to be very careful about that. I think it's good old Dr. Luther who liked to illustrate that it's our calling to keep the cart going straight down the road without running into the ditch, either on the left or on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the struggle to go into the ditch is just the way driving is today on icy roads. It's real easy to end up in the ditch.
Good analogy, that it's hard to keep it in the middle sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you know you can get out of control and slip or slide either way. You know, I think we're really going back to verse 10 where Paul talks about, am I seeking to please God or human beings? And he says, nope, I'm tied to this gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a servant of that. And because Jesus revealed it to me, I know what it is, and you can trust what I've revealed. We're going to talk about more of that with our guest today, Pastor Larry Troxell, on the other side of this break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bible Study.
Thank you. What do I cherish? Precious moments watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Luckily, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-254-6552 for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. That's 1-800-254-6552.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I'd like to invite you to join me on a new program called Reformation Rush Hour. We'll talk about all sorts of great things, worldwide religious news, what's going on around the Synod, the fascinating and sometimes wacky world of Christian history, and a segment that I'm excited about called Lutheran on Purpose. You're invited to call in and help resolve the world's issues Mondays through Fridays at 5 p.m., starting Monday, February 11th, right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
We're back on the Bible study, enjoying our visit today in our chat with Pastor Larry Troxell. He's a retired pastor in Illinois, and we're looking at Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, and we're trying to take it down through 17. Larry, when we left off last, we were talking about how sometimes it is tempting for pastors to succumb to what the people might want to hear. You know, I know Paul in 2 Timothy talks about in the latter days, people won't want what God wants to say to them. They'll want to have their ears tickled. And so that's a real temptation to keep the people on your side because, as you probably know, and myself, boy, there are times when people get mad at you when you will be firm in what God has to say, even if you do it lovingly and kindly to them. They get upset because they think you don't like them, you don't love them, and they have their own opinions. And we were talking about that before. Now, what argument does Paul present here in 11 through 17, these verses, about that we can all trust the gospel that he preached and laid down for us in God's word?
Well, first of all, he again, in verse 12, he makes the point, I didn't get this from anybody else. And later on, he makes that same point again in verses 16 and 17. I didn't go to Jerusalem, and I was not a student of Peter or John or James or any of the other leaders of the church. I got this straight from Christ Jesus. And if you've got it straight from Christ, you've got the right thing. And it's not, you're not dependent then upon human opinions, human teaching, human interpretations. And that's why it's always so important to us that we go back to what does Scripture say. And very often in dealing with people of various religious backgrounds, we'll be told, well, that's your interpretation, or that's your opinion, and you have to come back and what does the text actually say? What does the text say? And the nice thing is that many of the translations of Holy Scripture that we have, even though they vary a little bit from each other, they all say the same thing. Now, there's a danger, because you can get into groups such as the Jehovah's Witnesses who have purposely mistranslated Scripture passages to suit their doctrine, so you stay away from those translations. And now we have the rise of the so-called gender-neutral translations, which, again, are a deliberate mistranslation of the text, seeking to fulfill the desire to meet American cultural opinions rather than the truth of God's word. So you have to be somewhat careful about what translation you're using and what's the background and what was the goal of the translators. But most of our translations are good, accurate translations that were done by Christian workers who were seeking, Christian scholars who were seeking to be faithful to the word.
Well said. I think, you know, that most pastors would say that there's so many good English translations out there, and all of them deliver the goods of Jesus. Some of them maybe do it a little bit better, and we can all have our opinions. So talk to us, Pastor Troxell, about how important is it for pastors to be able to work in the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, to help their people?
Well, that is really where it's at. That's the foundation. To be able to read these scriptural texts in the original languages, and by the grace of God, the manuscripts that we have go back so far back that we are assured of their accuracy. Being able to read that simply verifies in your mind that what you've been reading in English really is the truth. But it also gives you some shades of meaning. For example, in verse 13, where I have the English Standard Version, and it says, "You have heard from my former life in Judaism how I persecuted the Church of God violently and tried to destroy it," that the way that reads in English might sound like a one-time thing, but you read it in the original, and it's how I kept on persecuting the Church of God violently and kept on trying to destroy
some
it.
Some good little grammatical helps there that help you really get the true feeling of what he said.
It really helps you to understand a little more deeply who this man Paul is.
Yeah.
And what great power God exercises through his gospel, that he took this person who was a violent opponent of the Christian faith and turned him around completely. And the neat thing is in verse 15, when Paul says, "He, God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me by his grace, when he was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles," he's again pointing away from himself to the grace of God, to God's marvelous grace, and the great news that not only did God know Paul before he was conceived, but it picks up on what Scripture teaches us. For example, in Psalm 139 and elsewhere, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and so on, that God has known all of us since before the creation of the world, and in his grace, he reaches out to us. And for Paul, this meant that God had this special work for him to do. And even though Paul had been going in exactly the opposite direction, God knew how to stop him in his tracks and turn him around and put him to work for the gospel.
That is so good what you're saying here, Larry. For those out there that maybe don't understand that word, and you're really putting a lot of emphasis on grace, tell us what God would mean by grace.
His love for us that no one ever has deserved, and which moved him in love to put his son into our life to live it perfectly, into the hellish death that we deserved, and then to raise him to new life so that we might be assured of our redemption. to actually unwrap the word grace requires an entire broadcast day.
It does, doesn't it? It's such an important word. You know, a little dear lady on my vicarage in Evansville, Indiana, Larry, taught me grace for the first time like this. Take every letter in that word.
Right.
G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that. But we've got a caller who has a question for you, Larry.
Okay.
Rick, listening in Nashville, Illinois. Welcome to the Bible study, Rick. Do you have a question or comment for Pastor Troxell?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking the call, Rod. And Pastor Troxell, I hope you're able to at least look out onto some sunshine.
Oh, yes. And I happen to know where Nashville is because we go by your area whenever we drive down to Atlanta to see our daughter and her family.
Oh, I gotcha. Catch the interstate and take off.
Right.
The prayer at the beginning of the program for the persecuted church, we don't know how blessed we are here in the state.
Oh. Amen.
Yes.
And I heard of a gentleman in the Ukraine giving a child a Bible caused him to spend 7 years in jail, and he got to see his family for 1 hour a year.
Wow.
That's persecution.
Yes, it is.
And
yet, notice how faithful Christ was even during his imprisonment.
Amen.
Yeah, even got to witness to some of the guards there. Amazing stuff.
Yeah. Paul never did pray for my sore back or my aching arm or this toothache that I have, but pray for boldness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or let me out of this situation. I don't deserve it. I think of apostles should be treated in other kinds of ways.
Amen.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to ask Pastor Troxell today?
Yes. I haven't even got to the reason I called yet. But one other sidebar, amazing is never going to be sufficient to describe grace.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And now, the thing that I called about, I have a Matthew Henry commentary. You spoke about the Greek and Hebrew, which I know nothing about. And I was just wondering, would you consider that a good commentary?
I haven't worked personally with Matthew Henry's commentary. I know it's over the, really over the centuries, it's been highly respected. But as with any commentary, even the ones that our synod publishes, you want to read them with at least one little question mark always in mind. Is this really unwrapping the text? Is it really focusing my attention on Christ and all that he's done for me?
Well said, Larry. You know, and I think early on when I was a lay person, somebody gave me Matthew Henry, a one volume commentary on the Bible. And at the same time, I was always also given Walter Rares and Martin Franzman. One volume commentary on the Bible. And as a layperson, I was prone to and still am, kind of lay them out on different passages and see where they both came out. And I think your difference there is well described. I think Matthew Henry is a good Christian man and translates the and works with the Bible pretty well. But he's not gonna come down on the side that we would of the sacraments and so forth and centered on Christ that much. So I would say use it and also get another one. And if you can get your hands on that old I can't remember the name of it, but it's Walter Rares and Martin Franzman CPH. They might still have it there. It's a great little volume.
The Concordia? Concordia. Would it be Concordia Study Commentary or
something like that? I can tell you, it's dark brown and covered in kind of silver lettering, and
it's sort of It's not the notes that were in the. It was in the. Similar to the notes that are in the Concordia Self-Study Bible.
It might be, but it's a great little one volume.
I have that. I was going to say I have it on my shelf, and I look at my shelf and say, no, it's still out in the storage unit. I need to bring it home. I retired, I didn't have room for all the books I had.
That's really good, Rick, and thanks for calling and listening there in Nashville, Illinois. Larry, I was going to tell you this story in my life and then have you comment on this. Mm-hmm. Its applicability before we go on to these final verses. I was a layperson in Dallas, Texas, and couldn't find a church. And I was in what they call a name it and claim it environment, a really mm-hmm. big one. I'm not going to name the person, but huge. And what I noticed, and I was attracted to it originally, was, you know, they were saying stuff like, God wants you to have another BMW. If you've got three BMWs or three Mercedes, he wants you to have four or five.
Yeah.
If you've got one company, he'd like you to have three or four. Yeah. And he would always call this the full gospel. And so I asked him one time, because I grew up Lutheran and I never heard the gospel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'd never heard that before. And he would say to me, well, that's what's wrong with Lutherans, Rod. And then I asked him, as you suggested, show me in the Bible where this is. And he really couldn't take me any place. And one day I would have this insatiable thirst for God's word. So I'm reading Galatians 1. And I see Paul talking about, if somebody teaches you a different gospel, you know, let them be anathema. And I learned that means go straight to hell and stay there.
Exactly.
And
yes.
then I'm searching, well, okay, what was this gospel that was revealed to St. Paul? And 1 Corinthians 15, he states it very clearly that that Jesus fulfilled all of Scripture, and then he was arrested, crucified, dead and buried, and rose again from the dead, and then he began to appear to a lot of witnesses, and then last of all, to this lowly apostle, which is Paul. And I was stunned, Larry. I said to myself, oh my God, I think I'm in the wrong church, because I'm not even hearing the gospel.
Yeah.
And my dear mom said to me, Rod, have you tried the Lutheran church? And I said, no, I think. And she said, what does it hurt to go back? And Larry, I can tell you, from the day I entered that church, I heard the gospel in every sermon. That Jesus loved me and he died for my sins. I never heard that in that other church. And so what do you think about listeners out there? Should they be listening for that and check us out, what we're saying here?
What is the message that Christ gave his church to proclaim? It was the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, period. And then as you read on in Scripture, you find that it's not a gospel of prosperity and success. It's the call to the cross. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, there goes the BMWs, and there go all the successful companies. And he said in John 15, if they treated me this way, and he says this on the night before he died, you know, the long conversation in the upper room before they go out to Gethsemane, if they treated me this way, you can be sure they're going to treat you this way, because no disciple is greater than his teacher. And if they hate you, remember they hated me first.
Wow, that's
now
powerful
stuff.
That's
not BMWs and success.
And that's straight out of the mouth of Jesus.
Yes.
I love that in John 17. I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you so much for that. Because what you're saying is, and I will tell you what really kind of brought me to the end of that, too. They had a supposedly expert coming in and teaching us about all this prosperity stuff. And first thing he said was, I want you to locate in your Bible the book of Job and grab all the pages with your fingers and then pull it out, because that's not the Word of God.
What?
Yeah, he did. He said that. And the people around me were doing it. I go, what a bunch of idiots. And then I said, I think these are false teachers, and I left.
Yeah, anytime somebody does that with Scripture, you've got to run in the opposite direction.
So we're saying...
Job is a great book.
Oh, I know, because it flies in the face of that God doesn't want you to have any downer time.
Yeah.
And his friends even say that to him. If you're a real Christian, you shouldn't be having these things.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
let's go on here. We got some good verses to finish up. Let's begin at 18. And take it at the end of chapter 1 and have you talk about it, Larry. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Why do you think God inspired Paul to lay down those words, Larry?
You want me to explain God's mind. Wow, that is really a challenge.
Sorry for that. I was...
No, but let's deal with this. Paul is laying out his history.
Sure.
And again... making clear to the congregations in Galatia, remember Galatia is a region, not just one town, so there are several congregations. He's making clear to them the truth of his word in contrast to the lies that these false teachers who followed him had been giving them. And he's not glorifying himself, but he's simply laying out the history. Okay, he said, I went away, back in verse 17, I went away into Arabia and returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem. Now, it's sort of interesting that it's taken 3 years in there.
Mm-hmm.
How long was Jesus' earthly ministry? Approximately three and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the requirements to be an apostle, laid out at the end of Acts chapter 1, is that he had to have been with Jesus and the others from the time of John's baptism until Jesus' ascension. Well, wait a minute, Paul wasn't in that group then. No. But he's got 3 years in which Jesus fills him in. Because he makes the point. He made it already. What the gospel he teaches came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Our Lord filled him in on everything he had, quote, missed out on in order to be qualified as an apostle. Now that he knows he's been filled in on the whole story and everything that he hadn't witnessed in person, now he's able to go visit Peter and James, the half-brother of our Lord, and he's as fully equipped to meet with them as they with him. They're on a common footing. So he's not learning anything new from them. They're simply establishing personal relationships. And we read in the book of Acts how when Paul did show up in Jerusalem at the first great council of the church, Acts chapter 15, how James and Peter extended to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship and said, fine, you guys go to the Gentiles, we'll work among the Jews.
So in essence, Paul, before he goes and compares notes on what Christ has revealed to him and to these other apostles, he spends a lot of time. I'm wondering, Larry, in that period out in the Arabia, if God did not really spend a lot of time with him, as you said previously, with Paul seeing Christ crucified and resurrected for sinners in that Older Testament text. Mm-hmm. And he was all prepared for that and then said, hey, this is what God showed to me and how it all matches up with the Bible of our time.
Well, And I am in perfect agreement with what Peter and John and James and the other apostles are teaching, and they know that I'm in perfect agreement with them. We truly are brothers in the faith, and so you can count on what I'm preaching as the truth, as opposed to these other characters that come around and say, well, you know, Paul didn't really tell you everything.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he's setting up really well for this, isn't he? And like you said, he's giving the history that leads up to this dispute and how he enters in with that.
One of the things that comes to mind, and you've made reference to your past, I think it's, there is a time and a place for us to explain to the people we serve, this is where the Lord led me. Not to give glory to ourselves, but to Him, and to let them understand that, yes, we are reliable, dependable preachers and teachers. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what God has done in our lives, and that we are simply walking in faithfulness to His Word.
Almost.
I had a meeting with a visitor at our... I'm serving a small rural congregation in retirement, and I had a visitor visit with me for a few minutes after the service yesterday, and he was really concerned. He comes from a totally different denominational background, and he really concerned about, number one, do I really believe in Jesus, and do I really believe the Word? And we were able to talk about that very nicely, and he went away so relieved and so happy that, yes, he said, I understand. From you, I'm hearing the Word of God.
Wow.
People need that assurance that they're hearing the truth of God's Word and not just the opinions of a human being.
Very good. And not just lording it over them and saying, you've got to believe what I tell you, but let me show you from the Word as you were describing it there.
Yeah,
real quickly.
You said it, well, Art, just one thing. You said it at the very beginning when you were reading verse 10. We are bond slaves.
Right.
We're not just merely servants, but we are slaves to the Word. We have no other choice. We can't do anything else.
And look at 24, not that they glorify us, but they glorify God because that we are preaching the faith that we once avoided or, in Paul's case, tried to destroy. 23 and 24, a little bit on that, Larry, before we have to let you go today.
I have absolutely no desire to have disciples of Larry Troxell. And if that happens, boy, I've got some undoing work to do, because I'm simply a sinner sitting at the foot of the cross like everybody else. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory, all the focus has to be on our Savior Christ Jesus, on the Father who sent Him, and on the Holy Spirit who works through Word and Sacrament, not only to bring us to faith in Him, but to keep us in that faith every day. They dare not be hearing
so well said.
Anything about me.
So well said. And maybe we could close with that it's not about the Apostle Paul's. It's not about Larry Troxell. It's not about Rod Zwanitzer. It's not about any Christian. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Remember, you and I aren't out selling books.
No,
the
we're not.
The book we're pushing is Holy Scripture.
Amen. Pastor Larry Troxell, retired in Illinois, thanks for being such a great friend to Worldwide KFUO, and thanks for being such a great guest in this study of Galatians 1 this day.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. God give you and everyone at KFUO a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Larry, and we enjoy talking with you. Stay warm, all of you out there. And pastors and their members and even seekers of truth out there, go to a place and challenge the pastor to show you from the Word of God what he teaches, what he preaches. And especially the gospel, the precious gospel. Look here at Galatians 1. Look here at 1 Corinthians 15. Join us tomorrow for the Bible study. Up next, Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.